Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Rebecca Jaffe is joining us today. She's also known as Akashic Beck. She is an Akashic Records channel, a hypnotherapist, and numerologist. She is a trauma-trained CBT coach who specializes in emotional and energetic regulation and self-remembrance to help sensitive souls regain their sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too, and I would love to hear what was the catalyst for you to become like an Akashic Records reader?
It's a really long story, but I'll try to keep it brief. The condensed version. So I actually learned about the Akashic Records, like what they were, years ago when I was a teenager. I think I was like 18, 19 years old, somewhere in there. And I had begun studying, esoteric things. I was always interested in that sort of thing, but I had to kind of keep it hidden because I grew up in a Catholic household. That was me, really diving into these kinds of subjects. So I knew what they were. And I learned about it through Edgar Cayce, the medium, who, if anyone is not familiar with him, I highly encourage you to go look him up. He was a fascinating soul.
Yes.
And so there's that part of the story. So, but I never tried it was not I didn't try to read them or anything like that. I was not aware of any gifts at that time. I always knew I always felt weird and different, like my whole life. It's just
Yeah.
me being weird and different. And so I didn't think anything about that. And then in 2009, I started to go through a spiritual awakening, and it's kicked off with a dark night of the soul that lasted 7 years. And in that time there, I went through a lot of hardships and obstacles that were just very, very life-changing for me. And at the end of that 7 years, my gifts just like full on came online, and it was a very intense time. Like most people, it's very gradual. That was not the case for me. It was extremely intense. It's a like type of situation. And the moment that I began to kind of understand that this is what was happening to me is when I was told by my guides that I was part of my purpose in this world was to read the records. And so I was like, me, like I'm nobody. Why me, and they said no, that this was like this was part of my soul's contract, and that they said they would help me, learn how to do this. And so I was like, you know what? Once I realized that I was not having a nervous breakdown, and I was not going through psychosis, and that I was actually connecting to my guides, I was like full on trust mode, and I allowed them to guide me, and they did. I mean, every step of the way, like gave me a trail of breadcrumbs to follow. And so I began to learn even more, like kind of pick those things back up again and dive into the study and like truly understand what it meant to be in the records. Was it a place, was it a thing, or was it a state of consciousness? I didn't know. And so I started to study again, and then they showed me like what to read, who to learn from, who to connect with. They even showed me like people who also read the records who could read for me, and just kind of, see what they do and learn from them and things like that, and just to eventually learn how to do it myself. And so I read for myself, just for myself, for the next 4 years. Like I really wanted to develop that bond and that connection with the records. And the moment that I did, it was the most life-changing experience. It's the best way I can describe it. It was emotional and beautiful, and it was validating, and I almost want to cry talking about it right now because it was just a miraculous moment in my life, and I felt like I came back home. And so that is how I got reacquainted with the records.
So how did your experience learning about the Akashic Records, and we'll talk a little bit more about that for people who don't know what they are. What was your initial thought? Because you grew up Catholic and it seems to be in stark contrast to your upbringing. So what was your initial response to like guides and all these things that are very foreign, I would say. And I know in Catholicism you have saints, but still I feel like it's kind of really on the periphery, even beyond that, to all of a sudden transition from Catholicism and all of a sudden there's spirit guides and there's Akashic Records and there's X, Y, and Z.
Got you. Like I said, I did grow up Catholic. I stopped being a practicing Catholic in my 20s. And I had always felt that there, like I was destined for something outside of that, if that makes any sense. It was like, well, you're meant to, I knew I was meant to go down a different path with all of my beliefs, and because it never resonated with me, but I also had like a lot of fear, like I was afraid of God being angry with me, and things like that. And there were still things that I had to decondition from over the years. And I still had more of a spiritual, I guess, outlook on things. I also want to clarify that, like, I don't have a problem with anyone, any religion, people who are devout in their faith. Like, I hold no begrudge, with that. And so to me, it was just confirming something that I had always known inside of me, but that I didn't consciously realize or understand until I stepped onto this path that I'm on right now.
I see. So I guess I would like to understand your yes, within the Catholic framework, your definition of, we'll just use the term God, and how's that changed now that you've been reading records for some time and communicating with spirit guides. So how has that changed?
So I see, I call it source creator now, because I feel like I have no problem with the term God, and I've used the term still, but to me, God feels somewhat patriarchal, like there's a man in the sky, it's like God
Yes,
is not man.
Sky God.
Yeah, sky daddy. And I don't resonate with that. I feel like God is both. God is all. God is everything and nothing. And we can't possibly, and with our human brains, understand what that means, because we would probably explode. And so my relationship with Source Creator is like, I know that Source Creator flows through me and through each and every single one of us. And I feel like part of our purpose here on Earth is for Source to experience itself through each other. We reflect back to one another, and that it's nothing but infinite source of love, and connection. And so that is why, like I said, we have these lifetimes, we have these relationships, and these people is Source experiencing itself. It wants to learn, it wants to evolve, and all under the umbrella of love.
Somebody might say, a very cynical person might say, well, it's been millions of years. What else is there to learn? Right?
Right.
Like, didn't you know it all by now?
Right. I would say, maybe, I mean, that's cool, Source can do whatever Source wants to do, go for it. And maybe they need to learn what it means. Maybe they need to relearn what it means, maybe they need to see it play out in a different manner so they can fully understand it.
Yes, definitely. So, okay, let's talk Akashic Records specifically. So, for people who are very unfamiliar, can you explain what they are, what's in them, etc.?
Sure. So I like to think of the records as this big metaphysical supercomputer that has, it's a database of everything and everyone and everything that's ever happened to everyone it's ever happened to. And everything and anything has a record. You know, you and I have records. The trees outside have Akashic records, you know, and it's just a blueprint of our soul and our soul's experience. And it's so it's the past, the present, and the potential future because the future is being created in every moment. And it's not a place like some people think. They're like, oh, it's in this dimension, you know, and maybe it is. I don't know. I don't claim to know everything, but I do know that our records live inside of us and they live inside of our energetic field. And so whenever I read the records for people, I connect to them energetically. And it's kind of like a tunnel of information between the two of us. And I'm able to access those records and explain to them inside of them, their emotional, and they're, and it's not, like I said, just the past. It's not just the present. There is a potential future, and it shows me all of the potential paths that those people can go down, throughout their life's journey.
Wow, that's really fascinating. So when you first accessed your records, what surprised you the most?
The overwhelming amount of love and peace that I experienced.
And how many lives would you say? I know you might not be able to answer this question, but having, accessed many people's records, how many lives on average do people, how many times do they incarnate? I would say, if you had to give an estimate
Oh, gosh.
on this planet, only Earth specific, not everywhere else.
Well, there, and there's truly no, there's no estimate, there's no average. Like everybody is so completely different, and there, and we've had lifetimes outside of here, obviously, and sometimes we have lifetimes where we are not incarnated. We are in spirit form, but we come to Earth to assist other people. So
Oh,
there's,
okay. As guides?
yes, as guides.
Oh,
Yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. So there's no estimate. It's different. It's so different.
And what do you think are some of the common reasons as to why we choose to come back to this place?
Oh, man. You know, people ask me that a lot. They're like, why did I choose? You know? What was I thinking, you know? But it's truly, it's not something that we make consciously, you know, it, like with our human brain, we make that choice on a soul level. So just to kind of clarify that, a lot of times people do it because of karma. And people say, you know, oh, karma's not real. Yeah, karma's definitely real. And there may be, it may not be your karma. It might be somebody else's karma that needs to be fulfilled, and you agreed to come back to fulfill that person's karma with them. Maybe you were karma adjacent, you know, to whatever the situation is. That is the most prevalent reason. Another reason is because we did not finish learning all of the lessons that we needed to learn here. That is also a very, very big reason. And also because of purpose. And so a lot of the people who are here now at this time in humanity came back for the humongous shift that we're experiencing that is happening within humanity right now.
So two things. Let me write these down because I don't want to forget it.
Okay.
First thing, let's talk just very briefly about karma because I think many people, maybe I shouldn't generalize here. Some people look at karma as a form of payback or retribution. How do you define karma? What does that look like to come back and satisfy some form of karma?
Energetically, I feel like that's the best definition, in my personal opinion, is to look at it from an energetic perspective. Karma to me looks like a loop that needs to end, or it needs to come back around into a full circle. And it's not always bad. Like, you can sow good karma, you know, you can sow all kinds of karma. Maybe it could be, you need to neutralize it, you know, because there might be inherently negative or difficult or challenging energetic pattern that's been playing out. And it could have been playing out through your family for centuries, you know, and it was time to cut that off and say, no, we're not going to perpetuate this anymore. This ends with me. I'm going to be the cycle breaker. And there's a lot of people here right now that are the cycle breakers of their families, because this needs to end. This is part of that shift in humanity where karmic loops need to be stopped in their tracks.
And that was my second question. Like, what do you think is this shift? I've heard many people talk about this over and over. We're at a juncture, right? A critical time, not a timeline. I've heard it all. And I guess I would like to get your perspective. What does this actually mean? And what does this look like for humanity?
Well, this will just, like I said, be my definition. Like, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here, but I think that there is this evolution happening within humanity. And it has been, and there are a lot of people who can confirm this as well, that there is an evolution happening within our species. And if you know anything about human design, so in human design, we all have 9 centers of the body, and those centers dictate to us like how we experience the world. And this evolution is going to give us 12. And so I'm personally don't know exactly what all that entails or what that will look like, but all I know and all I've been confirmed is that humanity is making that leap from 9 to 12, that it is going to give us greater access to not just physical gifts, mental gifts, emotional gifts, but spiritual gifts. And so a lot of people are going to have these spiritual gifts come online, and a lot of the children that are going to be born between now and 2027 and beyond are going to just be born having access to these gifts.
So a couple of things here out of cure again, and I understand, you know, this is just your perspective, and that's, you know, I love having these discussions and just, you know, yeah. So I wonder sometimes, and I meant to ask you another question earlier too. I have it written down. I wonder sometimes. So yes, similarly, yes, I've heard that we are also, you know, evolving to some degree along with the earth, and the earth's energy as well is evolving. Yeah. So I wonder, do you think that this has occurred all across time where, because we see, you know, civilizations rise and fall since the beginning of quote unquote time, we'll just put quotes around that. We see this all the time where supposedly there is this peak, and yes, there's always a peak, whether it's technologically, I'll just use technologically because I don't know if there's ever an emotional peak, but I know there's like a technological peak
right.
of humanity. And then, you know, it falls apart, and then it's reformulated into something else where, again, you have all of these evolutionary stages, and then you reach the quote unquote pinnacle, and then you have kind of the collapse of a civilization. So this happens over and over and over and over again. Yes. And I wonder what makes this so different this time. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think it's I personally think that it's certain aspects of ourselves that are coming back online. Not that this is necessarily new. Maybe we are becoming new humans. I don't know. But I feel like there are things that were shut down, suppressed, that we were cut off from. You know, many, many, many years ago, and it's just coming back. It's a remembering.
I love
because,
that.
Yeah, and when people say it's ascension, you know, I think maybe that's what it is. It's like ascension is remembering who we truly are, and not this version of ourselves that we've been experiencing.
I think it's a really smart way of putting it, because even the word, you know how the word God has all of this baggage, horrific baggage, understandably so, it should. I think the word ascension also kind of has some, to me, these really specific connotations, same as the word enlightenment, right? Where both of them, I think, can be equivalent, where supposedly you're like the monk, you go on the mountaintop, and then quote unquote, you reached enlightenment, and then, game done. And I feel like sometimes the people use that word, that's the image that is portrayed, or that's the image that many people have, but that's not my personal image of ascension. I think the way you put it as a remembering, and it's remembering every single day, not just one moment.
Yes. I
I think
totally agree with that. Yes.
I'm going to ask a complicated question because,
Cool. I'm down for it.
wonderful, wonderful. So, time and time again, when I've talked to my guide, and I can already hear him like, oh God. And I ask questions about the future or past lives or what have you, anything having to do with the timeline. I'm always reminded by him and other guides and angels and whatever you, what have you, telling me, remember, there's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as time. And it is very difficult as a human to grasp that concept. It's like, okay, I get it. But at the same time, having a lived experience, we measure everything throughout the day, right? So I wonder, when we talk about like past lives, if there's no such thing as time, does this really mean this is all happening at the present moment? I don't know. So I'm just throwing that out there. And it's okay if you don't know, because I don't know.
I know I feel this, and people have asked me something similar, and I'm like, once again, I don't know everything, but I'll just tell you what I do
Neither
know.
do I.
I feel like time can definitely time is a construct that we created, but I do feel like it's like a measure of our existence, right? And I feel like time can layer on top of itself, and the reason that I think this is because whenever I'm reading for someone, and I do my readings the exact same way every single time, but I will enter into their records and I'll enter into a scene, and the scene is 99.9% of the time, it is a previous incarnation, and the things that are happening in that incarnation somehow mirror what's going on currently in their life, and it's almost like it shifted over and it overlapped over that one space. You see what I'm saying? And so I'll enter into it, and I'm like, okay, well, this is what's going on in this scene that I entered into, and I have to interpret it, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, that's literally what's happening to me. That's very similar to what's happening to me in my life right now, like, or it recently just happened or something like that. And so I'm like, that is what made me believe that it's all overlapping in some way, and it just maybe it shifts around, a little bit, goes like this. But I do feel like it overlaps to an extent, and that's why we'll have moments where we feel one way, or we'll have periods of time where we feel one way, and then we'll move out of that, and then we'll feel differently, or we'll have a different viewpoint. And I hope that made sense, but
So no, that makes complete sense. So you could have multiple lives, most likely running concurrently. And strange, this just came to mind as well. So let's say if you're having certain parts, I don't know, certain lives overlapping during certain points of this conscious life that we're experiencing, do you think that maybe as we were living this awareness in this body, in this lifetime, that as we move throughout this lifetime, maybe we have a, let's say, all of a sudden I have this interest in ancient Egypt. I don't know, right? And then I'm really interested in it. But then maybe 20 years from now, I'm really interested in ancient Mesoamerica because there's something, I don't know, something attracting me to that culture. Do you think it is because whatever is happening in that other life concurrently is in that culture where we're learning something that's similar. I don't know. I am legitimately just making this up. So please. I don't know. It's very interesting to me because I can't grasp it
Right.
mentally.
No, and yes, I think that there is truth to that. Like I said, this is just from my own personal experience and my experience reading the records. And oftentimes, like there, people will ask me about something, and nine times out of ten, it's a future-oriented question, and I'm like, I don't know where you're gonna be at that point. All I can tell you is where you are now, and this is what's playing out. But I do see what could potentially happen if you choose to stay on this timeline, or if you go to a higher timeline, maybe a higher vibrational timeline, maybe a lower vibrational timeline. That's what's available to you. I have no way of knowing of like how your interests are going to change. I might get a semblance, just based off of like the scenario that you painted, right? Like, oh, I'm interested in Egypt right now, but then later I'm going to be interested in another ancient culture. I could probably know that your interests are going to change, but I don't know. I may not know what its interest is to. Yeah. So, and I also have had somebody else ask me this question before about the potentiality of us reliving the same life over again, and know that that too is real. And the reason why is it's like a skipped step in our evolutionary process. We did not learn all the things we needed to learn, and we're like literally stuck in a loop, and this could be considered a karmic loop, where that we need to get through this lifetime with the knowledge and the wisdom that we were meant to acquire, or fulfill the contracts that we were meant to fulfill in order to move on into the next evolutionary process.
So, how much then, this brings up a question. How much of our lives is mapped out prior to? Because there's an understanding that people have where a majority, you pick your lessons, you pick your family members, you're kind of picking all of that. But how much of it is mapped out and how much is left up to free will?
So, whatever our souls choose for us prior to incarnation, I would say that is what's mapped out to us. And a lot of it has to do with our relationships and connections. It may also have to do with something that we felt destined to pursue. How like there's people that like they were 5 years old and they knew they wanted to be a doctor, and they grew up and they were a doctor, like beyond the shadow of a doubt. I fully feel like that was something that was chosen prior to birth. And yes, and so but our moment to moment choices and life decisions, I feel like, are left up to free will, because we can't force our will on anybody. I feel like it's all free will in a way.
Yes, I'd like to think so. I certainly would like to think so. Nobody likes the idea of having, been controlled in some way or being forced to do what they don't want to
Yeah.
do.
Right. Don't tell me what to do before
Yes,
I
leave me
incarnate,
alone. I was like, I'm coming here with a blank slate. Let me just
Right.
go. So, how long, like when you've kind of gone through the records, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to ask this question. How long do people use or spirits usually wait before they decide to return to Earth? Is it like, what we would say is 1 year, and the Earth line in Earth years, or on average maybe 100 years, or what kind of variations, I guess, do you see?
Well, I've seen, I mean, most of the time people do have a space in there where they wait to reincarnate. But there is instantaneous reincarnation. I forgot the word almost. But yeah, I mean, it truly just depends. And there's also, I've met souls who wait what we would consider extended periods of time. And I'm like, that's smart, actually.
Yes. That's my plan.
Right. And so, but I feel like I will give myself as an example. After my last incarnation, I was almost I almost immediately like reincarnated back. Like I was like, what was I thinking? I was like, no wonder I'm so tired all the time. Like I have like no energy. And so yes, and that lifetime was like extremely traumatic. I don't want to go into it, but it's like I waited less than a year to reincarnate into this form. And I know why now. I know why I chose to do that. Still doesn't make sense to me. It's like I'm still like scratching my head, like, why did I do this? But I know that it was all part of a divine plan. And so I just had to make peace with that. But most people, most souls wait, you know, but time here and time to them is so different. You know, it may seem like a second to them, and it's like 20 years to us, you know.
Right. Exactly. And that's why, to me, the whole discussion of time is so difficult to wrap my head around, because I know it is a man-made construct. Like, I know that from an, intellectual standpoint, but still, it's really difficult when we have these conversations to understand, like,
Right.
how are we having these lives concurrently? But right now we're in 2025, but how can I be in 3600 BC? I don't understand. Like, it's so, and how can I incarnate in that and this? And it's so
Right.
difficult for me to personally, like, get it. And I'm like, it's okay if I don't get it. I don't feel like I'm gonna die, but
Right.
it's very fascinating. What I also wanted to ask you is, when you go through somebody's records, and I don't know if this information is in there, but are we picking the same spirit guides over and over and over for this world? Most of us? Or do we just say, okay, look, you and I work together 5 times and I'm not getting nowhere, so I think I need to level up to somebody
You're fired as a spirit guide.
else?
Well, actually, our spirit guides choose us. And it's because it's a divine assignment, you know, they have the choice as to whether or not they become a spirit guide. It's like a job, you know, to them. And most souls are very happy to do that, you know, because they do. You know, they are pure love and unconditional love, and they want to help us. And they want to see us, they want, you know, be able to get through this life as best as we can, and they are there to support us. But you have to have a relationship with them just like you do another person.
Yes,
You
you
have to,
do.
yeah, you have to cultivate that.
100% agree. You know, I guess, is there anything so strange that you've ever encountered in somebody's record that was just so wild or unexpected?
All the
I know
all
human beings are
the
unpredictable,
time. Yes.
but.
Yes, and I don't like to share, you know, I try to keep, you know, my readings private and out of respect to my clients, but yes, I have come across some strange things. And so when people say, I know this sounds weird, but I'm like, honey, like, who are you talking to? You know, like you cannot weird me out, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and there's one thing I wanted to definitely ask for people who are interested or listening, and they may be interested in having, like, a reading with you. When you open up somebody's Akashic records, is the records that you're looking at, are they specific to Earth, or is it Earth and beyond other places?
Earth and beyond. Definitely. And I can, a lot of people like to ask, like, where did my soul originate? And I'll say, well, when you say originate, I mean, we all came from Source Creator. So that's the original, that's the OG, right? But I like to think of it as the first place that they incarnated to. That to me is kind of your origin story of your soul. And so I will go back to there and share that. And everybody thinks, oh, I was Pleiadian. I was Arcturian. And I guess this could kind of go back to your other question. Like, what's surprising is gosh, there, I mean, there's just this infinite amount of solar systems and planets and stars and things, you know, and there's more than just those places. And a lot of times, like sometimes the planets that they lived on don't even exist anymore. You know, they maybe they collided with another planet. I mean, you don't even know, you know.
Yes, I think that's such a great, that's a fantastic point. I'm glad you said that because I've never heard anybody talk about that, but a couple of times very strangely, because I don't do what you do, but when I've given readings and people have asked me that question, where did I come from? And then I'll see like a dead planet, legitimately that looks like a moon and it is dead. And I'm like, holy crap, like you migrated, like somewhere, you went somewhere else. Like that happens. I mean, we see this stuff when we look out through a telescope and then, you know, in our limited view of the universe, all the time, things are constantly dying and growing. Like it happens.
It does. It does. Like the those planets had their own evolution, and you could go into their records and see what happened to them, you know.
Yes. I mean, we could go on this whole other tangent. I'm not going to take us. I think the very last thing I wanted to ask you today is based off of your, you know, research and yes, going through other people's records, just in general, do you think that Earth is one of the most difficult, and we'll call it schools, in this universe?
I mean, it can be pretty ratchet sometimes. That's my favorite word to use, by the way. And I think, I mean, I don't, I can't foresee it being any worse or any better, you know, than some of these other places. But I do think that there are other places that have evolved way past where we are now. And you know, I think souls come to Earth. Part of the reason they come to Earth is because things can be so topsy-turvy and challenging here. And they might live in a place that's peaceful, and you know, we have no need for war, you know, and things like that. And they come here and they're just like, what? You know, they're like looking around. What did I sign up for coming here? You know, and but that's just my personal opinion on that.
Well, I'm so glad that you joined us today. I loved our conversation. It was really insightful. And if people want to get like an Akashic Records reading with you, where can they find you?
So, yes, I enjoyed it too. Thank you. I loved your questions. So you can visit me on my website. It's akashicbeck.com. And I'm also on Instagram. It's Akashic underscore Beck. I also have a Threads, a YouTube, a Substack. I'm kind of, I'm in a few different places.
Thank you so much. And everybody, I hope you enjoyed our conversation today and have a great week ahead. Take care. All right. Bye-bye.